We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me shortly is Chris Biederman. He covers the 49ers for the Sacramento Bee. And we have some roster cuts and some injuries to talk about, so let's dive in.
Blue Wire.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Has got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
I'm recording this Monday, and the 49ers announced their first batch of roster cuts. They have to have 85 players on their roster by 1 p.m. Tuesday. So they made a few of their cuts a day early. Josh Hokett, a fullback, was let go, as was wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson and defensive lineman Tomasai Laulile. The big surprise, or at least the minor surprise, was cornerback Darquez Dennard was among those released. So that makes a lot of news and a lot of moving parts in the 49ers secondary, Chris. We have Dennard, who was the presumed starter at slot corner, now gone. He's been released after your guy Sammy Womack's big preseason debut. We'll talk about that. But also, there's a bunch of injuries in the secondary, including hamstring strains for Tre'Varius Ward and Emmanuel Mosley. Those are supposed to be more minor. But Kyle Shanahan on Monday announced that Jimmy Ward suffered a pretty bad hamstring strain that puts his week one status in jeopardy. So now the 49ers will have even more moving parts. Shanahan said they might add another player or two at safety. They might move some of their guys that are competing at nickel back to safety. What are they going to do? What are the 49ers going to do in the secondary right now, assuming Jimmy Ward is not available at free safety? What do you think their starting secondary looks like in week one?
I would guess it's Tre'Varius Moore, but I mean, if there's a silver lining to all these injuries, it's that, you know, we're still in the middle of August, and I think Ward is the only guy who's in danger of missing week one against the Bears with that current injury. But no, I would say Tre'Varius Moore and Talanoa Hufanga will probably start. I don't know that they would feel great about George Odom having to play defense for any substantial amount of time. He was a guy they brought in to play special teams. And mm-hmm. I would think they'd probably be more inclined to play Dante Johnson at safety, who's in the practices that I've watched, he's almost worked exclusively at safety. And I think that's in part because they feel pretty good about how his ability to play cornerback both outside and inside.
He's injured too. He's dealing with fractured rib cartilage.
Yeah, that also doesn't sound like a significant injury. I mean,
football's wild.
football's wild.
The fractured rib cartilage. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, the upshot here is, like, you obviously want everybody to be healthy all the time, but it is the middle of August. But it's also, you know, the 49ers, as we speak, are probably on a plane getting to Minnesota for their joint practices on Wednesday and Thursday before the preseason game on Saturday. And like, that's good work, right? Like, you'd want your guys to be able to get that work in. But I would say in Jimmy Ward's case, probably in Charvarius Ward's case, and maybe Emmanuel Mosley's case, like, you've probably seen enough from those guys that you don't like have to have them get in those practices this week for you to feel okay about them heading into the regular season. But yeah, I mean, the injuries are problematic. Kyle Shanahan said that they're a product of the starts and stops in the schedule, like guys coming off days and then coming back and injuring themselves. So I don't really know that you can that there's a whole lot you can do about it. It's better that it's, you know, a hamstring strain than something more significant, certainly. Like, you look at, you know, you take a step back and look at the bigger picture from an injury standpoint. Like, the 49ers haven't lost anybody, you know, knock on wood, for a substantial amount of time, right? Like, this isn't like when they lost Jeff Wilson Jr. to his torn knee ligament in June of last year, or Justin Skuhl tore his ACL in OTAs.
Moore, you know, got hurt too.
Yeah, Tarvarius Moore tore his Achilles during OTAs last year. So it's not that situation. It's just it a little bit more minor, but yeah, it's problematic because it's now three quarters of your starting secondary. And so, you know, it's not ideal, but I think for now, I think that the silver lining is that it's happening well before the start of the regular season. And there's still, you know, there's still almost a month before the regular season starts. So Jimmy Ward's a good player, but at least for the 49ers' sake, Tarvarius Moore is somebody who's played a decent amount and can play free safety, although he is coming off the Achilles injury that caused him to miss all of last season.
I think in this part of the calendar too, I don't want to say they make more of injuries, but I think they hold out players longer than they normally would and make the injuries seem more significant than they might be. That's not the case with Jimmy Ward, obviously, because Shanahan said his week one status is in question, but he said Eric Armstead, for example, who sprained his MCL in the first week of camp, he basically said if Armstead had to go, he could.
Right.
But they're going to ease him back in because there's no Tre'Varius Ward doesn't need to be rushed onto the field. Emmanuel Mosley doesn't need to be rushed onto the field where they can aggravate this injury. They're going to make sure they are fully healthy, healed, and ready to go 100%. Like, Eric Armstead could stay out until the first week of the season. Like, they start practicing that first week and be good to go. Same thing with Mosley and Ward. So I think that's part of the reason too that they're holding these guys out as long as they are, is they don't they're not gonna rush them back in mid August.
Yeah, and if you're somebody like Ambry Thomas or D'Amador Lenore, or just anybody lower in the depth chart, like, this is a good opportunity for you to show out at practice against a pretty good receiving core, right? Like, you're going to go up against Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen in practice. And so it's going to be really good reps for those guys. I'd imagine the 49ers defense is going to play as well against those guys as it would obviously with their starters, but that's good work for those guys. And I think those guys, particularly in Lenore's case, really need it. So, yeah, I you look at the early portion of the schedule and, like, you know, the Bears week one is looking like more and more of a blessing for the 49ers as time goes on, because I mean, the Bears, I just don't think the Bears are going to be any good, and I don't think necessarily that the 49ers have to rush anybody back.
You're not a big Valus Jones guy?
No, I have no idea who that is. I'm assuming you just made that person up.
The 25-year-old rookie wide receiver they drafted out of Tennessee. He had a visit with the 49ers. That's why I know the name. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you're a big visits guy. but yeah, I just, you know, having the Bears week one, the 49ers could probably come out of there with a win without a couple of their guys if they need to, I would think. But like, yeah, the regular season, guys practice or guys don't practice, and then, you know, they play Sundays and they play through injuries because those games matter. To your point, like, now these games don't matter, so it's all about just getting healthy.
Yeah.
And so I would imagine there are a couple of the guys, particularly like in Armstead's case, I saw him Matt Barrows posted a video of him working out, and I saw him working out on Sunday too, at practice. So yeah, I'm not overly concerned yet. I think for the most part, the 49ers have had relatively good injury luck compared to what it could have been in the past. You remember like, you know, Nick Bosa's rookie year in 2019, he had a high ankle sprain like in the first week of training camp.
Yeah.
That pretty much wiped out his training camp and preseason, and they still came in and played at a high level. Like, they haven't had one of those yet. They've had some nagging hamstring things, but nothing, no like structural ligament type injuries. So I guess that's a positive so far. And you know, knock on wood for their case, that remains the status quo.
The injury we did not talk about is in the other backfield, Elijah Mitchell dealing with a hamstring injury. And this is why I did not take a super close look at your 53-man projection, but
there's still time.
I had the 49ers keeping four running backs, but given that Elijah Mitchell is already dealing with an injury, and after he missed six games last year because of a bunch of different injuries, like remember last year he missed six games, and it wasn't like he missed five games with one injury and then missed another one. He missed six games kind of chopped up with different ailments.
Right.
And now he already has this hamstring injury. And that's not to say that, you know, he's going to for sure miss six games again. But if you're the 49ers and you're looking at your backfield and you're looking at what they went through the last couple of years trying to find able-bodied, especially last year, like Jaquez Patrick, and I think they signed like, Who was a guy from Detroit? Kerryon Johnson, I think, was on the team for a minute.
Yep.
And he was crazy. So I actually had them keeping five running backs, specifically because Elijah Mitchell is already dealing with a hamstring injury that isn't supposed to affect him going into week one. But it's just, given what we saw from him last year, that's not a great sign, even in the middle of August.
Yeah, so that was one of the reasons why I went through the exercise of just kind of making a 53-man roster projection that I tweeted out today, in honor of your birthday, by the way. Happy birthday. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. I have it printed out and it's on my fridge.
I can sign it next time. Next
I was
time
really
I
hoping you would.
Yeah. So they typically keep four halfbacks. Like they've often kept four halfbacks and Kyle Juszczyk, and when 53-man rosters are set at the start of each season since Kyle Shanahan's been there. But to your point, like Kerryon Johnson, Jaquez Patrick, even Jeff Wilson was a guy who came up from the practice squad a few years ago. So like they've had to dip into the practice squad and even sign guys off other practice squads over the last couple of years while dealing with all the attrition that they've dealt with in their running back room. And yeah, so that I went with five halfbacks because they actually have five NFL halfbacks. I mean, no matter how you feel about Trey Sermon, I still think he's an NFL player and probably worth keeping over, you know, leaving that spot to, you know, have to find a practice squad player elsewhere. I just don't know like where on the back end of the roster you're really sacrificing somebody, I don't know, a backup defensive end. Like I think it definitely makes sense for the 49ers to keep five halfbacks in Mitchell, Wilson, Ty Davis Price, Jamichael Hasty, and Sermon. And, you know, one of those guys isn't going to be up on game days, but you will have an NFL player in reserve as long as your group's healthy, which I think is important because, you know, we've said it a lot, like the 49ers are going to run the ball as much, if not more, than any other team in the league this year. So I think having five running backs makes a lot of sense. So you don't have to do the Jaquez Patrick thing and really bring in, you know, somebody from outside the building. Right. And you'll probably have Jordan Mason on the practice squad. And
fingers crossed.
And you'll have, you know, ultimately six running backs in the building. I think that would make a lot of sense for them. And in terms of like the 53-man roster, like I just don't know that there's a fourth tight end worth keeping on the roster. I know a lot of people have talked about them keeping six receivers. I currently only have them keeping five because I think only five of those guys are NFL guys.
Can I run something by you? Can I slam pause real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had four tight ends with Tyler Croft being the fourth one. And then I sacrificed an offensive lineman because I was looking at Justin School, Alfredo Gutierrez, Jordan Mills, Jason Poe, Nick Zakel, Keaton Sutherland, Donovan West, and Sam Schluter. And yeah, those are people. Those are people. And I guess I figured Tyler Kroft has been a productive NFL player. And none of the names I just said outside of Jordan Mills, who they just recently signed, none of the players that I named have had any NFL career, much less anything substantial in the NFL. So that's why I went with a fourth tight end, especially since I think we're going to see him run more multiple tight end sets this year because they are going to be so run heavy. So I went eight offensive linemen with four tight ends.
Yeah, eight is about the smallest number you would have, and you know, Nick.
Wait, but do they have a ninth NFL player that they're leaving off then?
Well, so I had, and I got some help from Nick, who has been
Nick Wagner, ESPN.
Nick Wagner, ESPN, friend of the pod. He's been watching the pass rush drills closely, and one thing he did point out too was like Mike McGlinchey's, you know, currently getting platelet rich plasma injections into his knee. Which apparently is unrelated to his quad injury he had last year, but it's also worth pointing out he had PRP injections, I want to say at one point in 2019, I forget exactly when, but he's had those before. So he's had a history of knee issues, which is problematic. He's coming off the quad injury, which is problematic. So maybe keeping an extra tackle just in case would track. So like I just had Trent Williams, McGlinchey, Colton McKivitz, who seems like he has a very firm grasp on the swing tackle job, Jordan Mills, and then Spencer Burford, Aaron Banks, and Jalen Moore at guard, and then Jake Brendel, Daniel Brunskill. So I have nine. But if they did go eight, that wouldn't surprise me because they've gone with eight before. But I think just given that McGlinchey's a little bit banged up and I guess somewhat of a question mark right now, like it doesn't sound like they're concerned about his availability early in the season, but you don't know if and when he could suffer a setback. You might just want another guy there just in case. So I went with nine. But yeah, four tight ends does make sense. I just don't know if they have a fourth guy who's like a legitimate NFL player. Like I just haven't seen it, you know, in practice and whatever. I just haven't really seen it. And I think you can get away with having three tight ends, even if you do want to be a heavier personnel team, because you have Kyle Juszczyk, who does a lot of tight end stuff. So, you know, you're not, given how much Kyle Juszczyk plays, you're really going to play him and George Kittle a lot. And then you can make up the difference with, you know, Ross Dwelly or Charlie Warner, and then, you know, a third or fourth receiver, however you want to do it. But there are different ways to work around that, which I think is probably a little bit easier than trying to patchwork an offensive line situation if one of your starters is potentially dealing with an injury going into the season, like McGlinchey is.
That makes sense, I guess. So who's your ninth lineman then?
Jordan Mills.
So you have Mills over the rookies.
Yeah, I think he's probably the fourth tackle right now. And Jalen Moore can play tackle. And Daniel Brunskill can play tackle too. So like the one thing the 49ers do have going for them, and obviously McKivitz can play tackle, they have a lot of versatility with guys who can play guards and tackle. Like McKivitz can play both, Moore can play both, and Brunskill can play essentially all five.
So Brunskill also, if you can believe it, dealing with a hamstring injury
after one snap
that might just kind of seal up the starting center battle.
Yeah,
if he's not going to be available week one, it's Jake Brendel by default.
I have no idea if Jake Brendel's good, honestly. No idea. He might be fine. They might be fine with just a very average center.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, they're going to kind of have to be, right?
It's as much as we talk about the interior, the offensive line being a problem, it's also kind of like first world problems, because if you're going to construct a roster and you can be weak anywhere, you'd be like, all right, well, maybe guard and center question marks like that. That's probably.
Yeah, it's not
where you can cover it up. I know it's young quarterback thing, but it's also like.
But can they get to average to slightly below average? Like just so it's not like a problem. Like, dude, they can't do anything in the run game because the middle of their offensive line evaporates immediately.
I think they feel like they're there.
Sure. And it looked like it the other night.
Yeah. And like Banks does have upside, and Burford certainly has upside
mm-hmm.
to be like quality starters. You don't know that they haven't gotten there yet. They haven't even played, but right. I would say the upside is there. I have no idea if Brendel has the same upside and right. or if they're just like, yeah, he's good enough. That's all we need is right. somebody who's just good enough.
Kick the can down the road as far as finding a long-term option.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
You got anything else right now? I'm interested to see who their fifth. So they have to cut a fifth player. They released four on Monday. They have to cut a fifth by Tuesday at 1 o'clock. So maybe after some of you are listening to this.
Yeah. I mean, Samuel Womack is pretty much wrapped up the starting nickel job.
Your guy.
Our guy, which...
Are you ready for a victory lap? Are you going to victory lap this?
I mean, I'm not going to victory lap it. I will point out, I'm pretty sure I said it in June. Did I say
you said it a long time ago.
Or earlier than that. I don't remember exactly when I said
you,
it.
You one said of my that takes, they really like Samuel Womack.
Yeah, one of my takes. And yeah, I did hear that they like Samuel Womack. Was that he would win the nickel job early on. And I mean, based on what he did Friday, I don't see why not, right? And like Kyle Shanahan said it after the fact when somebody asked him, like, are you concerned about having such a young player in that spot? He was like, well, when he first got to know Kwan Williams, he was a rookie starting for Cleveland when Shanahan was the offensive coordinator there in 2014, I believe. Yeah, yes. 2014.
Yep.
And then when he was with the Falcons and they went to the Super Bowl after the 2016 season, they had a 7th round pick rookie, I think, playing nickel for them. So yeah, I mean, the thing is with Womack is he played a ton of football,
mm-hmm.
In college. He ended up becoming a team captain. He was initially on a walk-on, earned a scholarship, and just, you know, all the PBU metrics and interceptions, like he just got his hands on a lot of footballs.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quality player.
Like, and he was so after his first interception, I started just kind of watching him specifically the other night, and he's around all the time. There was not any reps that I remember seeing. Granted, it's not the all 22 views, so, but there weren't a lot of reps I remember seeing where it was like, wow, he got toasted.
Yeah, and we've seen it, like, you know, since Kyle Shanahan's become head coach, whenever there's a young player that plays a lot as a rookie, generally that player has proven he deserves the playing time.
Yes.
Right? Like, we talk about how hard Kyle Shanahan is on young guys and how difficult it is for them to earn his trust. Like, that was a big issue mm-hmm. with cornerbacks last year, right? We're like, Kyle Shanahan just needs to play these guys. Why doesn't he trust Ambry Thomas or D'Amador Lenore? Well, he didn't think they were good enough. And I mean, that's a problem in of itself. Like, those guys not being good enough to play early on last season. So you have to play
Josh Norman and Dre Kirkpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
But to be so Kyle Shanahan to be happy enough with Samuel Womack to be like, yeah, he's our week one nickel.
Yeah.
Like, I think that says a lot, right? And yeah. I think that manifested itself a little bit on Friday with like dudes just ripping the ball away from somebody after like the officials thought it was a completion initially, and then just having perfect coverage on the slant over the middle and just making an easy pick. Like that's not a ball that Jordan Love should have thrown, but still the coverage was perfect. Like that's exactly how it should have looked.
Jordan Love's probably never seen that route covered that well, which is probably why he threw it.
Yeah. Yeah. Potentially. So yeah, I just think if you're a young player and you play for a Kyle Shanahan team and you win a starting job as a rookie, I think that just bodes really well for your future overall.
And I think that same thing goes, as we were just talking about, I think that same thing goes for Burford.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because look, nobody knows how important Trey Lance is more than Kyle Shanahan, right? Like,
yeah, he's not.
Kyle Shanahan's livelihood is on the line with Trey Lance. So like he's going to feel good about the rookie who's playing guard.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do have a lot of bodies, right? Like they have a lot of guys who could have gotten first team reps at guard, whether it's McKivitz or, you know, we can go down the list, but we don't need to because it seems like Burford has that spot wrapped up. But like, yeah, I think that's a strong point. And, you know, ultimately, like if Womack's a starting nickel and Burford's a starting right guard, you feel pretty good about this draft class based on what we've already seen from Drake Jackson.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like Danny
Jackson,
Gray.
Just, I know Jackson didn't do a lot like statistically the other night, but the question is always, does athleticism translate to the football field? And man, some of the stuff he did athletically the other night was pretty incredible. Yeah.
I saw him. I was watching practice on Sunday and he was doing an individual drill and he kind of slipped and like went to brace himself with his right arm and put his arm down, and the shoulder clearly grabbed him. Like he was in a lot of pain and doing the bad body language thing when you have a bum shoulder, like your arm's kind of hanging and not moving while you walk, like doing that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm concerned about, he stayed in practice and like participated in team reps and said afterwards he was feeling okay, but like the shoulder might be a thing. And then I saw somebody post an article from SC or with a picture of him at SC, and he had the same brace on his right shoulder.
Hmm.
So I'm a little concerned, like, you know, the warning flag's up on the right shoulder thing.
Yep.
I don't want to overstate it, but like it can.
Orange flag, not red.
Sure. I mean, stingers are a problem. Like Ruben Foster had shoulder issues like a lot. Remember,
mm-hmm.
like even dating back to college, and then they proved to be problematic in the league. And, but yeah, so that's the one concern I have with Drake Jackson. But yeah, like Drake Jackson probably going to play a lot.
Yeah.
Danny Gray going to play a lot. Like probably the only real true deep threat. I mean, I shouldn't say that because Debo and IU could probably do it. But like the guy who's going to be running those routes,
game changing speed.
Yeah. The guy who's going to be running those routes the most is going to be Danny Gray.
Mm-hmm.
And then Burford starting right guard, like, and Womack, you're starting nickel. Early returns, that's a very, very nice contribution from a draft class. And you remember, like, one of the things that really stood out about the 2019 team was how important that draft class was, because you had Nick Bosa, you had Debo Samuel, you had Dre Greenlaw, like, you had contributions from that class in substantial ways in that first season. And it looks like there's at least a possibility that you're going to get a good contribution from your draft class this year. So that could be something we talk about, you know, a year from now, how much experience that group got and how good it potentially could be.
You want to real quick talk about, if we're allowed to, Debo Samuel playing running back in practice? Are they going to make us pull this down? Look, I don't want to put you in a bad position. So I was not at practice. So I'm going to go off what I saw on the internet. The video that surfaced on the internet of the play the Niners ran with Debo in the backfield and someone going in motion, and then I think it was Trey Sermon next to Lance in the pistol, it looked like a nightmare to defend. And it made me a lot more optimistic about the 49ers offense this year, because it was like, oh, that's one play in practice and that looks like hell.
So I can not confirm nor deny what plays the 49ers ran at practice that required these beat writers deleting their tweets with details. But if I were to speculate,
we saw it.
You remember? Do you remember Trey Lance in the preseason game against the Raiders last
year?
Yes,
the one at the goal line.
The one at the goal line where it was like Jalen Hurd was in motion and they did like a fake to him and then like had kind of like a triple option
like a zone read
type look, like going one way and you had Jalen Hurd going the other. There could be something like that coming or different variations of that coming this season, utilizing Trey Lance potentially as a runner in addition to other playmakers who may or may
theoretically
who may or may not have had 1700 yard seasons last year playing receiver and they also playing Cup? Running back. Look, I'm not saying that the 49ers did all these unique things at practice. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of those things were called and different variations of it were called.
Yeah.
During the season. I'm just really not trying to get my credential taken away.
That's all allegedly.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody can pick up what we're putting down. Like,
How messed up would it be if, is it not Nathaniel Hackett? He's the Broncos. Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach. If he's week one, he's like, yeah, we had no idea, but then we listened to Candlestick Chronicles.
Right. Right. Yeah.
We mined the 49ers content machine and figured it out.
Right. And part of it, like, I have a suspicion because Kyle Shanahan knows the media's out there. Like, we can watch all those plays and, like,
right.
You know, part of my suspicion is he does it on purpose because he wants it out there. And he just, it's kind of like playing mind games with future opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Because NFL teams are on Twitter and NFL teams mine Twitter for tidbits. Like, that's a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's why teams like, you know, the communications department for the Niners will say, you know, these are our practice policies and do not report where, with the except like when fans aren't at practice, when fans are at practice, we can live tweet practice and kind of say, you know, that we can have a little bit more freedom with what we tweet.
Right.
There are no fans at practice anymore. So like now they're doing kind of the tricky stuff that they're going to do in games that they didn't do while fans were there because so many fans are, you know, tweeting out what's happening and all that. So I understand like why they want to be secretive about it, but also I'm like, Kyle Shanahan probably wants this stuff out. So like teams are paranoid about it and then they do something else to counter it, you know? Like they'll run this play to this player and the video will leak online and they'll pretend to be upset about it. And then when the game comes, they'll have another player run the exact opposite direction out of the same look that they scouted on Twitter. You know, like, I don't know. I think stuff like that happens.
If tweets were what was going to derail Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Right.
Not the greatest minds, defensive minds in history. Nothing like that.
Right. Like, I mean, the whole point that like the whole
it's a tweet from practice, it's going to do them in.
Like a very substantial part of Kyle Shanahan's offense is just being able to run multiple plays out of the same look.
Right.
So
that's
like
why Kyle Juszczyk's are valuable.
Right. So he doesn't really care if people are like, oh, yeah, like they use this formation with this guy in the backfield. It's like, yeah, then they run this play and they'll do the exact opposite in the game.
And they're going to run it once in a game and then it's on tape for everybody.
Right, exactly.
So,
and some of these things already are on tape, but you can look at what Trey Lance has done in the running game and what the 49ers did last year with certain skill guys and put two and two together and figure out what kind of plays they ran on Sunday that all the beat writers had to delete their tweets about.
Except one.
Well, I was just super vague because I knew what was happening. Like, I knew as soon as that, like, because they did like 8 plays in a row like that.
Sure.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to tweet about it, but be as vague and innocuous as I can be. So nobody yells at me and nobody yelled at me from the Niners, thankfully.
Hey, I went to go do a post because everybody on the beat tweeted like, hey, wide back. And I was like, oh, great. This is good. Like, this is good content for me. People searching fantasy football. What's Debo's role and stuff. And so I went to go grab all the tweets and they were all gone. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, they all got deleted post haste.
Except one. Shout out to NBC Sports.
Oh, not mine? You're not talking about mine?
No.
Oh, damn. I thought you were talking about mine.
No, I don't think you mentioned specifically.
Okay.
Mayoko basically was just like, yeah, Deebo Samuel was a running back today.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
So
man.
I said Kyle Shanahan starting getting creative with offensive play calling, a few unique looks, taking advantage of Trey Lance's athleticism and his playmakers as the team gears up for the regular season.
Very good. But I was no specifically looking stuff, for Deebo.
No formation stuff, nobody's name outside of Trey Lance. But I can tell you, as somebody who really enjoys like what Kyle Shanahan's offense can look like, this is
you were
going to
say PR.
no, this is like there's some really cool stuff that Kyle mm-hmm. Shanahan can do with Trey Lance at quarterback and his array of playmakers.
A lot of football dorks. We are among these people. A lot of football dorks posting like all 22 of like, oh, look at what Shanahan did here.
Yeah.
This season. Yeah. He's going to be in his bag.
Yeah. Like the Saints game in 2019. Yeah. The Rams game with Deebo throwing passes.
That Rams game where Jimmy was hurt and they didn't throw a ball more than like 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. There was that one. Yeah. The Niners are going to be creative from an X's and O standpoint.
I'm really excited.
That was my takeaway from Sunday's practice. So
no specifics, allegedly. Hypothetically.
Yeah, hypothetical, alleged X's and O's.
Got anything else?
No. Happy birthday, man.
Thanks, dog.
I guess this that is something else. Yeah, happy birthday.
This is how I wanted to spend my afternoon.
Yeah, I can't think of a better way for you to spend your birthday than pod about training camp, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm surviving. super thankful to work with you all the time. I don't know.
Same, man.
I hope I express that enough. But yeah, man, you're a good pal, good podcast host, and I appreciate you. So happy birthday.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
Shout out to our guy Craig in Minnesota who sent us the lamb chops gear again.
It's so sick.
Just really great stuff, super high quality. Let me pull up the
They're Instagram the nicest so I can t-shirts plug it. I own.
Yeah.
They're the nicest t-shirts I own. And it's honestly like the shorts, I'm not even going to try to describe them because you need to go see them. But every once in a while when you're in a store, you'll see a thing that's like, oh, that's I love that thing. I need to own it.
Yeah.
That's how every pair of these shorts are. Like if I saw them in a store, I would immediately gravitate to them.
Yeah. So on Instagram, they're SG Lamb Chops. And the shorts are like the last like four or five posts. We got like killer whale joints. We got lions. We got wolves.
Seashells, coral.
They're just like these mesh shorts with these super dope patterns. And everything's super high quality and very comfortable, like you said. So shout out to Craig, our guy, Happier Glasses on the socials. He's a very, very valued listener of the pod, showed up at Cooperage last year. Just overall high quality human. So shout out to him. And we appreciate the post, man. We always appreciate free things. If anybody wants to send us free things, DM Kyle and we'll gladly accept it.
Totally.
All right.
All right, man.
Happy birthday.
Subscribe, rate, review.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.